You're listening to the Iterators of the Imperium.
Hi, I'm Mess, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, Ryan, and you're listening to Season Quinqui of the Iterators of the Imperium podcast, the podcast in which Ryan is the expert on Warhammer 40k, and I am now an intermediate, but still trying to learn about the Warhammer universe. So yeah, let's get into it, Ryan.
All right.
Orcs.
Orcs.
Yes.
We actually have another one of the kind of bigger events coming up that we'll be looking into in a bit more kind of a bit more detail. So we'll probably get to that, or to the introduction to that, towards the end of the episode. So that should be quite fun. But until then, we do have a few more of these little like mini stories that are just like, you know, setting the scene of orcs causing chaos through the galaxy.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm going to take a wee second to adjust your camera, because you've got a little line next to you. There you go.
He's making me smaller.
Oh, it's
don't cut that out. All right.
So, we left off in 978 of M41 last time. So we're skipping forward 1 year, and a few things happen in 979. Few things go down, because we're getting towards, like, you know, like, the year 42,000. Which is a big deal. A lot of shit goes down there. So in the run-up to it, a lot of like big stuff starts going on, right? This is like right at the cutting edge, the modernist of modern-day stuff. So a lot of shit starts going down around this point. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that happens in 979 is a Bad Moon's war boss called, and this is one of the worst names I've ever heard, and I can't stress that enough, Nasdreg Ug Urdgrub. Nasdreg Ug Urdgrub.
That's a tongue twister, Ryan.
It really is.
Try and say that 5 times in a row really fast.
I'm not even saying it one more time. He's a Bad Moon's war boss, and obviously they're the scrappers, right? So he starts experimenting on his mechs, and after some pretty serious issues, which range everywhere from the mechs randomly exploding to unplanned flight, he perfects his teleportation technology.
Yeah.
And he then makes a deal in exchange for an alliance and provides that technology to Ghazghoul Thraka.
Ooh, oh boy.
So our boy now has access to teleportation technology.
That'll get handy. I'll tell you that.
There's a few little bits here and there that you'll notice of like people joining up with Ghazghoul while he's off like preparing for his next big thing.
Yeah.
And you start to see like other people's stories fitting into his one in this like gap between his major events, which is quite cool. So I believe last time we had like a pirate fleet joined him, and now he's got teleportation technology and these guys on his side. So it starts to all piece together with him.
Yeah. We're
building up to the next big event for Ghazghoul, but we'll get there. So also in the same year, but a bit later on, Big Mech Graborc, which is also a stupid name, and his orc boys decided to ransack a space hulk named the Perpetual Misery. And as orcs are, you know, known to do, they decided to experiment with it a bit. So they ended up basically ripping this space hulk apart and rebuilding it.
Okay.
So what they did was they basically stripped all of the guns on all of the ships that made up this space hulk and reformed them all into one giant cannon. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And then to power it, they wired all of the different ships that made up the Space Hulk. They wired all of their reactor cores together to power the gun.
Sounds safe.
Very safe. So the gun in question kind of works like the junk jet from Fallout. I don't know how much Fallout you've played.
A little bit Fallout.
Okay,
Fallout 76 back in the day.
So Fallout 3 had a gun called the junk jet. I believe there was also a special version of it called the rocket launcher. But the idea was you could load any random piece of junk into it and fire it out of the cannon as a weapon. That's essentially what this cannon that these orcs have built is for. They can throw anything they want into it and fire it, right? So naturally, they want to test their junk launcher. So they move the quote unquote ship to a nearby planet and start firing random crap at it. Pretty quickly, the orcs run out of crap to throw into the gun. So Grab Orc starts grabbing snotlings and launching them out of the cannon at the planet.
Great.
And
I mean,
then,
at this, finally, they're useful, right?
yeah, I mean, they had to be worth something, right? Obviously, there's a natural progression to this, which is that he runs out of snotlings and starts firing orcs at the planet.
Of course.
And the other orcs that were around kind of started to like, they started to, see the writing on the wall, right? They didn't want to be launched out of a giant cannon at this planet.
Right.
That was not something they were interested in. That didn't sound like a fun thing to do on a random Wednesday. So they decided to mess with the gun a little bit because they kind of wanted Grab Orc to like not kill them. Right? Revolutionary thinking there. So they basically just reversed the power supply to the gun so it worked in reverse and it just pulled the planet into the ship. And they collided and basically just made a giant asteroid field.
Great.
Yeah, this didn't really affect anything in the grand
It's
scheme, but it was very entertaining along the way. So we skip forward one more year, and we've got another minor event here. The Cantarax sector, this whole area of space, is basically overrun and destroyed by tons of small orc WAZ that have just rose up out of nowhere. The whole thing was caused because a minor warp rift appeared in this area, and it wasn't really a threat, it didn't really do much, but it seemed to put out some kind of weird psychic pulse, and all it really did was make all the orcs go feral. So like every like group of five orcs hiding in a cave in this entire like sector of space just decided it was wartime and just started murdering anything nearby, burning down cities and stuff.
Hey, let's go.
Yeah, like every planet has like five orcs hiding on it at least. It's just a thing, right? So, like every planet in this area just got like bombarded by tons of small groups of orcs causing hassle, and it led to the whole sector basically being burned to the ground.
Well, what?
Now we come to another stupid and funny one. Woo!
Yay, the best ones.
So this is the following year again. So we're up to 981 of M41. So we're going to look at a Forge world called Kanto 2, right? And in 981, Kanto 2 is recovering from having just been attacked by a little like splinter fleet of one of the Tyranid hive fleets. So they've just been ransacked by space bugs, and the planet is pretty messed up. And in the kind of the chaos that causes, a war boss named Mardrug decided that this was a great time to try and steal a warlord titan from this Forge world. Which, I mean, if you're ever gonna do it, it's as good a time as you get, I suppose. So yeah, he decides he's gonna steal this warlord titan named the Wrath of Cassiopeia, which I think is a really cool name.
It is
It's
indeed.
quite a cool name. So what he does is he sends a little like commando squad and some mechanics in, and they do manage to break into the Titan and kill some of the crew and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And they get to a position where, were it humans, they would be able to try and take over the Titan, right? The issue you get is that, you might remember, you need like a princept like wired into the Titan to control it.
Yeah.
And the orc didn't have that, so they had no way of actually controlling the Titan. But they did manage to wake up its reactor and like turn on the Titan. They just had no way of controlling it. And again, you might remember, Titans kind of have their own intelligence, and it tends to be quite fickle and aggressive. Usually the person controlling it has to like rein in the Titan, because the Titan just wants to go to war, right?
Yeah.
So because they couldn't control it, but they had turned it on, the Titan just went on a rampage, started destroying its own Forge world. And this whole scenario, after all the extra damage that this rampaging warlord Titan did, ended with the Titan overloading its own reactor and nuking a small part of the planet.
Sheesh.
Yeah. Obviously, this causes pretty major issues for the Forge world, because, like, you know, like a 12th of their planet just got wiped off the map. They did have a new crater to act as a dumping ground, though, so that's always useful. And because the Forge world was kind of fucked up, that caused loads of issues for, like, the Imperial Guard and everyone like that across the galaxy, because Forge worlds obviously provide all their equipment. So,
yeah,
that, it had, like, it had, like, a continuing effect, like, a roll-on effect across the Imperium. The fact that these orcs tried to steal a warlord Titan. Because now, like, war zones weren't getting ammunition and stuff. So that's fun. So the next year, in 982, we have Boss Zagstruck, who is in the process of battling some Eldar on an Exodite world. It's one of the worlds that belongs to the Eldar that decided to fuck off and not have anything to do with the whole Slaanesh thing, right? So the normal Eldari, non-Exodite ones, protect these worlds. It's just a thing that they do, I guess, out of respect. So they were fighting Boss Zagstruck and his orcs, and they decided that, well, orcs are kind of stupid, right? And the Eldar think they're better than everyone anyway, because they're kind of poncy elitist arseholes, right?
Yeah.
They're elves. They're fucking elves, right? That's all they are, right? They think they're better than everyone. That's the whole thing. So they managed to outmaneuver Zagstruck, and in the process, Zagstruck got incredibly angry and took it as a personal insult. The fact that he was outmaneuvered in battle. He would not stand for this. So when the Eldar tried to retreat through their webway portal, Zagstruck and a bunch of his dudes just chucked on jetpacks and followed them.
Oh. Hunting them down.
Yeah, so they just, like, Zagstruck and his boys just disappeared into the webway. They were just gone, right? He was assumed dead, because the fuck else would happen? Now, Zagstruck is not seen for about 10 months, and the next time he is seen, he is breaking into the camp of another war boss called Golgrot. And he breaks into Golgrot's camp and murders a bunch of his orcs. When he is seen at this point, he has like a belt on him covered in Eldar helmets. Not only did he survive the webway, he murdered a ton of Eldar while he was in there and made it out to continue his life. Yeah.
Made a trophy out of it, essentially, also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So nobody actually, like, none of the orcs had the balls to, like, wait, is it, no, Teef? Would Teef be the equivalent for orcs? Because, I'll go with that. None of the orcs that were at Golgrot's camp had the Teef to, like, ask him where the hell he's been or anything like that.
And just as a side thing, do you want to know why he broke into Golgrot's camp? Because it's totally irrelevant to the Eldar
Why?
thing. So after Zagstruck had disappeared into the Webway, Golgrot had went, "Oh, well, I'm taking his fucking plane. Like, the guy's gone. He's dead. I'm having his plane. Fuck this."
Yeah.
So when Zagstruck came back, he was like, "Oh, Arshel took my plane." So he broke into his camp and murdered a bunch of his orcs to get his plane back.
I would have done the
I thought
same.
was quite funny.
Yeah.
So in the same year, we also have another interesting incident with a bunch of freebooters, so orc pirates.
Hey.
Specifically, a freebooter named Dakbad Firegut. Him and his crew came across a Tyranid bioship, so one of the big living creatures that act as their spacefaring vessels, right?
Yeah.
Just floating through space. They found it and just saw it floating through space. And this fucker goes like full Captain Ahab and spears it with a bunch of like chained harpoons and starts dragging it through space. It's like, this is my fucking white whale. I'm having this thing. So they just harpoon the fucking thing and start dragging it along.
Nice.
Obviously, the Tyranids get slightly upset by this, and Tyranids start like the bugs start climbing down the chains to get to Firegut's ship to, murder the orcs. So Firegut and his boys just load up the deck guns and start firing at the Tyranids, playing target practice with them as they try to climb down the chains. And this goes on for a while, but eventually, Dakbad just gets kind of pissed off with the Tyranids and is like, "Ah, I can't be bothered with this anymore." And he just cuts the chains free and leaves the bioship just floating wherever it was. The follow-up to this is that the place he left it happened to be right at the edge of an imperial system, so it was a nice little gift for the Humies.
Yeah. So
Yeah,
they, yeah.
like this guy, this orc pirate, acted as a Tyranid delivery system, just
Yeah.
dropped them on our fucking doorstep and fucked off.
Gee, thanks.
Yeah. Totally unintentional. I cannot stress that enough.
Yeah, but I bet he wouldn't mind if he knew, right? You
No,
know?
obviously not. I'd pretend he meant it.
He would be like, yeah, I'm in that. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
But did you not know there was humans right there? God.
Yeah.
So we skip forward a couple or a few years now, so we get to 985 of M41. And at this point, there is a Drukhari Archon, so one of like the noble household leaders of the Drukhari, named Shrike, which is quite a cool name, to be honest with you. But this dude is annoyed by the existence of Tau near him, because much
Yeah.
like the normal Eldar, the Drukhari think they're better than everyone, except they're evil. It's the only difference. So basically he just gets angry that Tau exists and decides to do something about it. And what
Yeah.
he decides to do is lead a nearby orc wa towards the Tau and just have the orcs deal with them. Right? Great plan. Solid plan. Again, we come to the issue of Drukhari think they're smarter than everyone, and it doesn't really work very well for him, so his plan is to have his own ships do a bunch of like little strafing runs, like throw some ammunition at the orcs to get their attention and lead them towards the Tau, and then fuck off back into the Webway at the last minute so that the
Yeah.
orcs will just keep going and attack the Tau. What he didn't really expect the orcs to do was teleport some of their fleet in front of his own ships. So he was
Yeah.
very suddenly totally encircled by an orc fleet, which quite quickly just closed in on his ships.
Yeah.
And the whole ordeal kind of ended when the orc leader, a war boss named Hammerfist, and a bunch of his dudes teleported onto the Archon's bridge and ripped him from like limb from limb with their bare hands. This...
Lovely. What a way to go.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess the moral of the story is don't fuck with orcs. Like, I mean, it doesn't matter how smart you are, don't fuck with orcs.
Right, that's just a general rule of thumb.
That's right.
It should be, at least, right?
Yeah. And yeah, that was the end of Archon Shrike.
Damn.
I want you to know that that historical event is purely titled as Shrike's Folly.
Oh.
Accurate.
Yeah.
So, a couple years after this, in 987, we have a war boss named Ozdaka, who is leading a Wa, which is an absurdly large Wa, right? This is like Ghazkul scale Wa, right?
I was about to say, we've talked about him before, haven't we?
No, that was Wazdaka. This is Ozdaka. They have very similar names.
I was about to say that this name reminds me of something, and I'm bad with names, but...
I don't know. Yeah. It's like, man, orc names are all nonsense, and they're all very similar nonsense as well. It's very hard to, like, to keep them separate.
It just sounds like Scottish words. If you really say it with a thick accent, it just sounds
it does.
Yeah.
Ozdaka is ransacking its way across the galaxy. And this, like I said, this is like a Ghazkul-sized Wa, right? This is not like a number of orcs that you would scoff at. These fuckers can do serious damage, and there is a ton of these fuckers. And much like Ghazkul, he has a bunch of, like, commanders working under him to organize his forces.
Yeah.
So, these guys become such a hassle to the Imperium that the Adeptus Terra decides to hire one of the elite Vindicar assassins to go and kill Ozdaka and his commanders. Which is a big deal. The Officio Assassinorum very rarely gets called out for orcs.
Right. What a name.
This is a big deal.
Yeah.
So the assassin, you know, gets to them pretty easily and makes pretty quick work of the generals, right? Picks them all off one by one, no fucking around, right?
Mm.
And obviously this pisses off Ozdaka because he now knows there's an assassin who is actually good at what they do trying to kill him.
Yeah.
And he puts out a bounty on the assassin's head. 100 teeth for the orc that kills the assassin.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I guess that's 10,000 teeth, but that's more than an orc can count to. That's more than an orc can imagine, right?
Yeah.
So every orc and his Wa is suddenly like, shit, let's do this. They're all out for blood for this assassin. But this also causes, like, other orcs that are nearby to hear about this and decide they want to try and get the bounty. So orcs from nearby start joining the Wa. And it ends up at a point where the Wa is bigger than it ever was before. This is, like, an ungodly amount of orcs in this area now.
Oh.
And the assassin does manage to blow the head clean off at Ozdaka, but it's, like, 3 seconds before being beaten to the ground by a bunch of orcs trying to claim a bounty from a dead guy. Hard to claim a bounty from a dead guy. Trust me, I've been there.
Yeah. Wait, what?
What?
gaming, of course, right?
Yeah, of course, yes.
Of course.
So, naturally, without Ozdaka, Ozdaka kind of fell apart, right? As typically happens with Orc Wa's, without the leader to keep them together, they kind of fall apart.
Cut the head of the snake and, you know, the body will follow.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Although, luckily, since we're on the side of the orcs right now, luckily, there were so many orcs in one place when this, like, finally came to an end, that their natural, like, dispersal into the galaxy still ravaged a lot of the galaxy. They still fucked everything up for, like, a fucking 4 million mile radius as they started to just split up randomly into little groups as they went off on their own.
Of course.
So at least there was, like, continuing after effects of damage. Which, I mean, who doesn't love that?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to do a bit of prep work for for our next kind of in-depth event here, right? We're going to do the introductory bit here, right?
Okay, yeah.
So we're in 989 of M41, so we're coming right towards the end of the millennia, right? You're 989 of the 41st millennia. It's time for another one of our big boys, right? This time we're looking at Warlord Snagrod, which is an unfortunate name.
Yeah.
We're not going to comment on it, but it is an unfortunate name.
Continue, right?
Yes. So, yes. Snagrod is the leader of a little mini orc empire. So, all across the galaxy, you'll find these little random spots of, like, an orc's domain where they, like, control a few planets or something, right?
Yeah.
And it's purely a matter of, it is a wa, but they're not currently, like, on, like, a crusade. They're in one area, right? And this particular empire is called Caradon. And, yeah, led by this dude called Snagrod, who is titled as the Arch Arsonist, which is quite a cool title, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Caradon, this little mini-orc empire. Anywho, so Snagrod decides to go to war, right? Just decides, today's the day, we're going to war. And he rounds up all the kind of orc tribes nearby to team up with his dudes. And they head to a nearby imperial world. And the world in question is named Bad Landing. And when the orc wad descends on Bad Landing is utterly unprepared for this attack. Pretty standard stuff when a giant army of green mushroom men turn up on your doorstep. People are very rarely prepared for that, in my experience. And despite having, like, a fair complement of Imperial Guard on planet, the planet still falls pretty quickly to Snagrod and his, you know, ilk. So, after a very short time, there is only really one point of actual resistance on this planet. And it's the capital city, as you would naturally expect, which is called Krugerport. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And this city is fairly well defended for what it is, right? So it's led by a commissar called Alhaus Baldur. Also, actually, I meant to mention this. The area of space this is taking place in is the Loki sector. And the commissar that's leading this planet's defense has the last name Baldur. And I just like the little thing of Norse mythology references in here.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah.
Yeah. Anywho. So, yeah, it's led by Baldur, and it is, the defenses are primarily made up of a few different, like, Imperial regiments. You've got the 18th Mordians, 24th Lamaze, and the 49th Boros Imperial regiments. So, solid Imperial Guard troops. Not like local police force, not local militia. None of this. Actual soldiers. Actual good, well-equipped, well-trained, seasoned veteran soldiers led by this commissar defending this city. So, you know, actual resistance here, right? This is good defenses as far as, you know, random middle-of-nowhere planet goes.
Yeah.
But they are nothing compared to Wa Snagrod, which, you know, can send wave after wave of its own men to their death to win this battle, because they have shitloads of orcs.
Yeah, power in numbers.
That's it. As I love saying when it comes to orcs, never underestimate the power of idiots in large numbers. Because it is perfectly accurate.
It really is. Yeah.
So, once we get to the point that it's just this one city that's left, Snagrod starts to get a bit cocky, right? He thinks he owns the planet now, like, it'll be my planet in, like, a week or in, like, a couple hours, because of fuck. And he starts broadcasting this message across the galaxy, or, you know, the nearby area of the galaxy. And it's basically a series of broadcasts of him bragging about how he's destroyed this, or how he's taking over this planet and destroyed the Humies. And the next planet he's going to go for is another nearby world called Rin's World.
Mm-hmm.
And Rin's World was a bad choice. For one very important reason, that it had recently became the home world of a chapter of Adeptus Astartes. So the Crimson Fists chapter, which are part of the, or they're a successor to the Imperial Fists, they had been a fleet-based chapter until fairly recently, when they had been given Rin's world to have as a homeworld. So this planet that Snagrod is claiming is going to go get next is the home base of a chapter of the Space Marines, which is a brave move for anyone, I would say.
Yeah.
So, chapter master, Pedro Cantor, which is a good name, hears this broadcast and is like, well, how tough are these orcs really? Right? Like, is it like 10 orcs and they just think they're big or what? Right? So he sends a little detachment of Space Marines to go see what's going on Bad Landing. The idea is they're to go try and defeat the orcs, or at least help the populace of the planet, and report back about the strength of the orc wa. That's their whole job here, right? So he sends 84 Space Marines led by Captain Draken, and this leads to what is called the Battle of Krugerport, right? When the Space Marines join the Imperial side and a big massive battle takes place between Wa-Snagrod and the defences of Krugerport, now bolstered by 84 Space Marines. The end result is Krugerport falls pretty quickly. Most of the Imperials are mutilated in the streets, and 56 of the Space Marines, including Captain Draken, are fucking murdered. Don't fuck with orcs.
Right? Yeah, essentially. Also, just realized people can't see the gesture I just did. I did you know, cutting the head off. He did.
Yeah. So the remaining Space Marines did manage to escape and warn their chapter. They got back to their homeworld and warned everyone about how strong, how ridiculous this Orkwa actually was. So. Now that they know there is an assload of very, very, very angry orcs coming their way, Chapter Master Pedro Cantor puts out a message to all of the Crimson Fists that are currently out in the field to come back to their home world and prepare for full planetary invasion. And I'll be honest with you, all that the Crimson Fists had actually managed to do by sending troops to Bad Landing was piss off Snagrod and make him really excited to kill more Crimson Fists. Like, all they did was basically create a personal vendetta from their enemy towards them.
Yeah.
It's a great idea.
Yeah,
I like
not?
To think of it as, you know, like the MMA fighting where they do like the weigh-ins beforehand?
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, I don't know if that's MMA. I know they do it in boxing. There's a really common thing during these weigh-ins where one person is very stoic and calm and the other person is like, you know, trying to be really aggressive and like try to act like they're a big man or like that they're going to win in no time and all this stuff. It comes to the actual fight and the person who was showing off gets stomped into the ground in about 2 seconds.
Yep.
It's kind of like that. Like, all you're doing is making your enemy angrier and hate you personally.
I'm thinking about the record right now. You know, versus Habib. It was all talk and then it just got shit on. That's a separate talk.
It's a separate event.
Same thing, essentially, right?
It basically is, yeah. So, I think that's a good place to leave off for today. And next time, we will get elbow deep in the story that is Rin's world. This is going to be our next big one, like all the Gazgul stuff. We're gonna deep dive into Rin's world a little bit for you here.
Right, sounds good.
Yeah. Should be good fun. Oh.
Do you want me to round it off here then?
Go for it.
Well, all righty then. How do I usually do these? I'm good at this. It is very late at night, by the way. Just
It's the middle of the goddamn night.
But yeah, it's been me, Miss, and Ryan, and thank you guys for listening to this episode of Iterators of the Imperium podcast. And we will see you next week. Take care and peace.